scripture did I give? 2 Timothy? Okay. And what did it say? Okay. From a child, he had known the scriptures. All right. Now, who else do we know that from a child has known the scriptures?
Timothy.
Okay. Our own kids. All right. And what are we doing about that to nurture that along? So, good point. And, you know, we have some new tools that because of technology, whether they're here or not, they're learning or can learn. Are we making it available? Are we challenging them to know the truth? And I think that there was a great challenge made by Mike to youth that sat in the front row yesterday. And I think that was very, very appropriate. And it's something that I need to remember to, you know, don't be so darn meek all the time. You know, we need to boldly speak about what our kids know about the truth. And are they acknowledging it in their life? And if not, why not? Okay? Because it's their choice. I can't force it on them, all right? But am I making sure that I challenge them to say, is that the truth? So with that, we have the man-child, Ronnie McCurdy. And I'll bid my farewell along with my lovely wife. It's been an awesome conference. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks a lot, Horace.
Thank you, Horace.
Okay. And you can come back anytime, Ronnie. Hey, bring your big brain, all right? Not the little one.
Where do we get these brains? We get a little bit behind here. Seems like when every time we need the satanic wire, Mikey, to try and get it working and hooked up, it never does for whatever reason.
Oh, what's the matter?
I said it seems like we're a little bit behind. It seems like every time we try to get the satanic wire hooked up and working, as you say, it never does.
Told you.
No. I don't think so.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning. Good morning.
7 o'clock.
How's everybody feeling this morning?
Good.
Feels as good as me. I slept like a rock. Morning, Carl. I didn't see you sneak in back there, bud. I can't speak for Miss Lori over here, but I slept like a rock. And Forrest and Kathleen, they get up and just all this stuff happens. You don't know how it happens. It's just like being over at Barney Kelly's. You know, this, you turn around and it's done. You know, you want for nothing and kind of get spoiled. So I just want to let you know in advance I'll be expecting that whenever we, you know, go up there. What the hell? I'm kidding. So we have had a wonderful time, and it's always like coming to your extended family out here. I don't know how else to put it other than just to tell you folks that we look at you like family, and we all are family. In Him, we're brothers and sisters, and we're all in Christ. At least that's the way I see it when I look at Scripture. And I do love the Scriptures. Do love to come here and try to bring what little bit the Lord's laid on my heart. So with that, let's go ahead and open the prayer this morning. Father, we do thank you for this privilege that is ours to stand here and to be here with these people. Father, you know our hearts and how we love them. And Father, what they mean to us. And we thank you so much for that knit together, for that edification that we get from the hugging of the necks, Father, and from being with these so close that are so like-minded. We thank you for that this morning and for the blessing and the love that we get from it. We know that it all emanates from Christ. We thank you for Him. And as Travis brought out so beautifully, for His faithfulness. Because were it not for His faithfulness, none of this could take place. None of it would be here. We know that, and we thank you so much for it. God, be with us as we go into the lesson now and try to bring that which you've given us. May it hit the hearts and the minds of those that are here, as it should, and be real to them in a special way that only your word can. Be with us, lead, guide, and bless us. In in your will and in your word. For St. Christ's name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Let me find my glasses. Can't see without my new eyes anymore. Welcome, everybody, once again, to the last day of the conference here. And this is always the day that I dread, is the days that conferences are over. We live, it seems like, really live from conference to conference. At least Lori and I do. We try to take our vacations around it. And it's not like I have to. That's what we want to do. And it truly is a vacation to get to come and be with you people and fellowship with the like-minded, because that for us is, there's nothing more relaxing than that. And sitting around and going through the Word, you know, like we did last night, you know, you look and everywhere you look, somebody's got a Bible open or some kind of Bible discussion going on or something about the Word or about Christ. And that's what it's all about. That's what the whole knit together and edification and edifying one another in love. That's what all that's about. It all has to spring from the Word. So we are so thankful for that. Most of the sessions that have already happened are on the internet. As my cohort in web crime reminded me this morning, I'm a little behind on about two or three of them. So I will try to get those updated and caught up and posted to the internet today. Chip's like my conscience. You know, he not only looks a little like me, sorry Chip, but he also is like a, and he does it in such a cool way. He said, you know, I think there's something. He come up walking and said, I think there's something wrong with the website. I'm like, well, you know, because we were having connection problems. I'm like, well, you know, what else can go wrong? You know, I'm like, well, what's the matter with it? He said, I didn't see them files. He said, you uploaded. Oh, this is sarcasm. I recognize that. So you see, even when he's gigging me, he does it in a godly way, and I appreciate that. Chip and Mike are both pretty good at that, by the way. Getting on that. I want to kind of sort of continue on what I did yesterday. You might have thought you heard the last of it, but you didn't. So what I want to do this morning is I want to expound a little bit on the word teach. You know we have some new teachers. We know that they have their charge from the Apostle Paul. But does it just stop there? No, there are some details, and there are some definitions, and there are some rules, and there are some procedures, and there are some things that go with that. There are. So I want to go through some of those, and I want to start over in the Old Testament. So turn with me, if you would, in regards to the word teach, back to Exodus chapter 4. I know you're thinking, well, that's a long way to go back to get some kind of knowledge about teaching, and maybe what's that, what relevance does that have on the church, which is his body today. Well, the first part of it, I just want to get into some of the definitions of what the word teach means. I mean, if we say we're teachers, and if we believe that teachers are ordained of God today or put in place by God today, which I think they are, from what I see in Scripture, Paul admonishes Timothy many times in not only to teach, but how to teach, how to treat the men that you're teaching, your students, how to conduct your life as a teacher, the things that we're to do, all these aspects, it's all here. So to get the full picture, what I thought we'd do is go back in the Old Testament. And let's start with the Hebrew and look at some of the verses that deal with teaching. The first mention of the word teach in the English. Now, if you look in the English translation you have, the first occurrence of the word teach will be in Exodus 4. And I'm going to read verses 10 through 12. But I want you to note especially verse 12, because that's the verse that I'm referring to here. And, of course, this is Moses talking back to the Lord after the Lord has shown him himself in the burning bush, I believe. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of slow tongue. Well, he reminds me a lot of me a while ago when Chip was saying, hey guy, you ain't got the stuff on the internet yet. And, you know, God said, Moses, you're going to be the guy. You're going to take them out of the nation of Egypt, and and you're going to bring them into the land that I'm going to show you. What's the first thing he does? Not me. I can't do this. I'm not eloquent. I can't talk good. You know, I sound like a babbling idiot when I try to talk. It's kind of what he said, isn't it? Let's read it again. He said unto the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent. Neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant." He said, "I wasn't before, and you haven't made me eloquent now." I thought that was kind of cool when I looked down. My man, he covered all the bases. He said, "I'm still not eloquent, since thou hast spoken to thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue." And the Lord said unto him, "Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or the deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord?" Little interrogation there. "Now therefore go," he says, "and I will be with thy mouth." I think God was more interested in what Moses was going to say than he was in how eloquently he said it. At least that's the way it appears to me. He said, "Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee." I will teach thee what thou shalt say. So he wasn't going to just leave him empty. He wasn't going to say, take the nation of Israel out of the land of Egypt and just leave him by himself. He said, "I'll teach you. Don't worry. You don't have to be eloquent. I'll take care of it." Now this teach here, if you see that word, it's the Hebrew word yarah. Yarah. And it's a primitive root meaning to flow as water or to point out as if by aiming the finger, to lay or to throw, to shoot as an archer. And it means something from one point to another. I believe that's the analogy of the water, flowing from one point to another. Laying an arrow down and pointing it from here to there, or throwing something from here to that point. You're imparting something from one person to another, I think, is the implication of this Hebrew definition. And that, incidentally, if you want to look it up, and I hope you will, is Strong's number 03384. Now, there are several, as I was going through and looking at some of these things, and this is by no means an in-depth study on the subject. Don't think for a minute that I've got it all covered, because I don't. I'm just wetting your whistle a little bit. The rest is going to be up to you. And I think that's what teachers ought to do. Teachers ought to prod the students to go and look for themselves. Because you got to admit that when you get interested in something and dig into it yourself, that's when the Holy Spirit reveals things to you, and not, a lot of times, not before. I have been shown things by the Spirit when somebody was speaking, but not near as many times. Listen, not near as many times as if I take what they say and go start looking it up, and you go, "Oh." And then you go, "Oh, I never saw that." You go, "Oh, I never saw that." That's what it's all about. That's the secret in teaching, I think, is to make the students look. There are several other Hebrew words for the English word teach when you see it. Here are a few others. Turn with me over to Deuteronomy 4. Let's skip ahead a little bit. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy 4. The next word, and they're going in the scripture that I'm going to read, I'm going to read 1 through 9. And in the scripture I'm going to read, there are two other Hebrew words that are used for the word teach in the English. So let's read Deuteronomy 4, 1 through 9. "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you." See, there are statutes and there are judgments that are going to be taught to you for a specific purpose. Do you see that? That's what this teacher, that's what Moses was ordained to do. And within his dispensation right here, he's doing exactly what God equipped him to do, what God told him and taught him to do. So look at what he says. Verse 2, "You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish off from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. That's one of the false gods. The Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you my statutes, or taught you statutes, and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, this is Moses speaking, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Do you see what's going on here? By their acknowledging and admonishing the words of Moses and what he was going to tell the nation of Israel, all the other nations of the world were going to look and say, what? You see it in the end of that verse I just read? Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. There is a fruit then to the teaching that was going to be put forth. It had a result. And the result was not only in the nation of Israel and what they would see, but in the witness that would be brought about to all the other nations of the earth. They would see this, and they would acknowledge it. For what nation, he says, is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? He says, nobody's got God as close. Who? What other nation? You remember what God said about Israel? They're a peculiar people unto me. I didn't pick you because you were greater than all the other nations, but I picked you because you were the least. You were the smallest. And let's go on. Verse 8, and what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? And now listen to verse 9. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. Listen, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, and let's go on down to 10, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. So you see, it was to be passed on. He said, teach your son so they can teach their son. Let's look at these two words here. First, look at verse number 1 that I just read, Deuteronomy 4:1. He says, now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you. I teach you for to do them. This is the Hebrew word, let me get it right here, lamad. L-A-M-A-D, Lamad. And it's Strong's number 03925. And it means, by implication, with a little bit stricter method than the first word that I mentioned earlier. The first word was Yarah. Remember that. This is the word Lamad. And it means to goad by implication, with stricter methods, or expert, or skillful. So see, now we're moving, now that they have these statutes. God says, or Moses says here, or God says through Moses, now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and the judgments, which I teach you to do them. So now it's not just a putting forth as a teacher, it's a, I'm going to goad you a little bit with it. Poke you with a stick. As you know, goading is to urge. There's a little more urging to a goad than there is just speaking to somebody. You know, if I went over to Mikey instead of just talking to him and I start beating him on the head, you know, he gets the message a little better. So that, not that they were getting beat on the head, but that's what this means by implication. It's a lot stronger method of teaching here, is what they're doing. It means to goad by implication with stricter methods, expert or skillful. Now look at yada. In verse 9, it's a different word. Yadeh, or Yadeh, I believe, where he says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons, and thy son sons. That word teach there in verse 9 is yada or yada, to know properly, to ascertain by seeing, is what that one means. You know it properly. It seems to me to be a little bit kin of either gnosko or epignosko in the Greek. And it means to know properly, to ascertain by seeing and by examples. When he says, teach it to your sons and your sons' sons, listen, these people were supposed to live this on a daily basis. They were supposed to talk about it when they got up. They were supposed to talk about it all day. They were supposed to talk about it and teach it to their sons when they ate, when they worked in the fields, when they worked with the animals. They were supposed to talk about it before they went to sleep at night, and then they were supposed to start the thing all over again when they got up the next day. It was supposed to be so burned into the psyche of these children that when they came up, they had no other choice than to do that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And that was their blessing. That was the way that they were trained and ordained to operate of God. Okay? Now, the admonishment for teaching the law was to teach it constantly, I believe, as we've seen here, as if it were their life. And I believe it was. I believe those who were devout taught it that hard to their children. Now, flip over to the New Testament. They call it that. Let's go look at the later writings. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew 4. Everybody ought to know what goes on in Matthew 4. The Lord has just been tempted here by the evil one. Okay? I'm going to read Matthew 4, 11 through 17 as an introduction. Then I want to go back and look at verse 23 where teaching is mentioned there. So let's go, let's read Matthew 4, 11 through 17. Everybody knows, of course, that Christ has just been tempted of the evil one. We'll take that. I'll assume that you know what's taking place down to verse 10. Okay? So we'll pick it up at 11. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness, verse 16, saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time, look at verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say what? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, the nation of Israel no longer without a king. The king is here. So what does he say when the king arrives? It's time to turn around, folks. Repent, kingdom's right here. That's the message. The message is pretty much that simple. Skip down to verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. It's not that difficult, I don't think, in the New Testament to ascertain what was going on here. When the king arrived, he began to go about the business of the Father, as he called it. I'm going about my Father's work. And that work was the message of repent. King is here, the kingdom's coming. Well, we know by the story of the book of Acts, of course, that even after they crucified him, he was resurrected. And all the things that they saw still came to naught. The nation was still set aside at Acts 28:28. But what I want you to see here especially is in verse 23, this word teaching here is the Greek word didasko. And I had great expectations when I looked up this word. I'm like, man, I'm gonna find out what teaching is in the Greek. It was a little plain. To teach or instruct. That's what I found. To impart knowledge. To teach or instruct. That's what he did. When he says, when he says immediate, and Jesus went about all Galilee teaching, that's exactly what he did. And you can find him doing this in many places in the gospel. It's not just here, but it's in many places. And check it out. That's Strong's number 1321. The word is 1321 if you want to look it up. And there are other Greek forms of the word teach. If you see the word teach in the English, there will be other Greek forms in the actual Greek text. One of them is mathetuo, and that means to make, to become a pupil, to disciple, or enroll as a scholar. Let's take a quick look at that one. Turn over to Matthew 28. That's the word that's used in Matthew 28. I'm going to read 16 through 20. Matthew 28, 16 through 20 says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted." Now, we get the rest of the information about the doubter in another book, as you well know. "Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." So there's his admonishment to them. And that's where that word mathetuo, and I'm sure I didn't pronounce it correctly, that's where that word mathetuo is used. And it means to make, to become a pupil, to disciple, which makes sense because that's what he's literally sending them out to do, or to enroll as a scholar. So that's what I wanted you to see, but especially that word there in verse 19. Now, as I said, there are other Greek forms used here, and this is one of them, and there may even be more, but didasko, the first one that I mentioned, is the one that's used most frequently, and it's used 91 times. In the Greek. If you want to check it out, you know, I admonish you to do so, because I think we could learn something about teaching if we went and looked at every one of these occurrences of this word. Now, I want to review for just a minute, since we're talking about teachers and how to teach and what to teach, let's review for just a minute some teachings of previous dispensations, because I think it's important in our understanding of our dispensation, and I know probably everybody already knows these things, but it's not a bad idea to review them sometimes. So let's review some of the teachings of these previous dispensations, because if you walk out this door right now, and this ought to tell you how fortunate you are here, if you walk out this door right now and go in any direction for a ways, it's not going to be long, you're going to find a church, as they call a church. And if you walk into this church and sit down, you're going to hear probably a guy about this time sitting behind a pulpit or standing behind a pulpit somewhere, and he's going to be teaching. What is he teaching? A lot of times, he's not teaching what I would call dispensationally correct teaching. And sometimes they're even blasphemy or totally incorrect teaching. And that's why I feel so fortunate to have the teachers that we have in this group and in other places around the country and around the world. I mean, you think about what they teach and what they preach, and some of it is close. I'm not saying everything they say is wrong. There's a lot of it that's worthwhile. There's a lot of it that's doctrinal teaching. But there's a lot of it that's not dispensationally correct. The kingdom is being taught out this door right now. If you go to most of these churches, they're going to teach the same thing that I'm about to read about right here that I know happened in a prior dispensation according to the truth of Scripture. And that disturbs me. It's not correct. I don't think it's correct. So turn with me. Let's look at Acts 18. I'm going to read verses 24 through 28. Now, we read a little of this yesterday. Or I think we read a little of it up at Jan's, I believe, in talking about teachers when we were up at Jan and Jim's. It says in Acts 18:24, how much time I got? Anybody know? Am I done? I need to sit down already? Acts 18:24, "And a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. Look at this. Knowing only the baptism of John. Now, it says that he was an eloquent man. He could speak very well. He had a great delivery. He wasn't like Moses. Moses said, look, I'm a babbler. I can't say anything. Apollos was the opposite. Very charismatic, very eloquent. But it says he spake and he taught, fervent in the spirit, he spake and he taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Look, he was doing what he thought he was teaching what he knew. You can't teach what you don't know. So he's doing the best he could with what he had. He was just one dispensation behind. And I use this as an example of what I just talked about up these doors. Let's read on. Now this baptism of John was the water baptism of repentance. And we're going to see that in my next scripture. It says in 26, Acts 18, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, and they were hanging around with you know who, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. What? You mean God's word ain't perfect just opening the book and pulling it right out? No. Else we can take this verse and cut it out of our Bible and throw it away. It's either the truth or we need to cut it out and throw it away, right? So it must be the truth. They expounded on him the way of God more perfectly, and when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples, receive him, who when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace, for he mightily convinced the Jews and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Not anymore just the message of water repentance by baptism. But now he's preaching that Jesus was Christ. And if you don't believe that that's what Paul taught, go and check it out in the book of Acts. Look at what Paul said. This Christ, this man is the very Christ. He's him. That was Paul's message. It always has been Paul's message. The one he met on the road, that's the one he upheld. Okay? Let's read on now. Let's go over to 19. And I'm almost done. Acts 19, I'm going to read 1 through 8, because this sort of continues on. Acts 19, 1 through 8, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. Well, I've heard that before. Haven't you guys? I know about Ephesus a little bit. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Now, why would he ask them that? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Look what they said. They said unto him, we ain't so much as heard that there be any Holy Ghost. What an answer. We haven't heard of it. See, they didn't know what they hadn't been taught. Not only can you not teach what you don't know, you can't know what you haven't been taught. And that's what these people said. We don't even know if there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? Ooh, look at the answer. John's baptism. Baptism of water. We read about that, didn't we? Baptism of water repentance. Water in repentance. Then said Paul, John barely baptized with the baptism of repentance. What you're looking at here is right division in action, folks. You're watching Paul rightly divide the word right here. And he's updating doctrine as we read. For these people. John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. You got to move on. Remember how they straightened Apollos out? And then they said, now, Apollos was going around teaching that Jesus was the Christ. We have a new message. That's exactly what Paul did here. And it says, when they heard this, they were baptized again. They already admitted they had one, right? So they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's a different baptism than what they had originally received. The baptism of John, the water of repentance. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, guess what? The Holy Ghost came on, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. He not only stopped, he didn't just stop with these guys. He went on into the synagogues and began to do his magic, do his thing, do that which God had commissioned him to do on the road. Now, very quickly, let's move on over to the mystery dispensation. Turn with me to 1 Timothy. And if you're looking for the charge for our men today, for these young guys that I was talking about yesterday, here it is. And I thank God for them. 1 Timothy, chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. What we're going to do is hit some of the high points of what Paul told Timothy. Because what Paul told Timothy, in my mind, best fits the situation that we have here. In this setting that we have today, we're almost seeing it played over again. And I want to make sure that when we leave here, that we understand what Paul's commission to Timothy was. And the best way to look at that is to see exactly what he told him in the two books. So let's read a few verses. 1 through 7 says this, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. There's a charge. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies. That's what they wanted to talk about. That's all they want to talk about today. This hasn't changed. Which minister questions rather than godly edifying, or minister questions rather than dispensational teaching, I think is how that ought to be translated there, which is in faith, so do. He says, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and a faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. See, it's no different than it is today. You can walk out that door right there and go where we were talking about earlier, and you can see exactly the same problem today that we saw right here. It's amazing. Turn over to chapter 4. I got to move quickly. Chapter 4, 1 through 11. If I can get this many in. Sure. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, or with exact words, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to the seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, how do you do that unless you teach them? Thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine wherein thou hast attained. How did he attain it? He got it from Paul. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of them that believe. These things, he says, command and teach. There you go. Okay? Let's turn over to 6. I'm going to read a couple of verses there. 1 Timothy 6, verses 20 and 21. There are many others, and you need to read the entire both books, but I'm just hitting some of the high points. So Timothy, Paul says, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. 2 Timothy. Let's turn to chapter 1, read verses 6 through 14. 2 Timothy 1. Paul says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Here's our charge for today. Guys, here it is. Here it is. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose. There it is, Travis. His faithfulness, his purpose, and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest, he says, by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, he says, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. Let's read 2:1-4. And I'm just about done. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commitment thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. There's the commission. There's what he gave them. You got the responsibility to keep it going. Therefore endure hardness. You will have to. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And finally, let's read chapter 2:22-26, and I'm done. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord, listen to this. Here's my point. Of all I've said, here's my point. Last four verses. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. You must have patience. In meekness, not the I'm teaching because I know more than you do. It's meekness. Because what you've been given is a gift. If you can teach, it's a gift. And you best treat it that way. That's the way Paul put it forth. He said, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, because some of them do. They oppose themselves and they don't even know it. If God peradventure will give them repentance. See, it's God that gives it, not us. Through the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. This has been wonderful. It's been a blessing. And I thank you so much for the opportunity. Bow with me. Father Saint, thank you so much for what we've had for this time and for the blessings that we have that I can't even begin to mention. Thank you so much for these saints here. Continue to be real in their lives. And Father, continue to bless them and keep them. Of course, in Christ's name today that we do humbly pray. Amen. And thank you much.
Thank you, Ronnie. That's awesome. We're going to take a break, sharp break, maybe 5-10 minutes, and then we will conclude with the final speaker. Whoever that is.
Shut it off. Let's start over. So,
we're trying to get out.
We'll go to the one that says SSTN conference or something like that.
Do the drills and saws.
Where's that? Once you get in, we're not in. It's just walking.
No, I mean, are you in the internet? Oh, you're in the internet. Are you into the internet? Yeah, but did you get under the internet?
I don't think so.
Oh, so you can't get into Calcock unless you get into Facebook. Should be a little thing. I found down here. Okay, hit that. Hit that box. Oh, is that a little bit?
Yeah.
What I would say,
I've been twice a year for about the last.
IBAN, IBAHN, something. One of them says S something. Okay, why don't you say have an S something? It's like three or four items. What is it?
He said you were better looking.
Maybe.
We're going to be up at Flagstaff. I guess almost we're going to go on this. Are you going to go?
Today?
Yeah, I bet.
We plan on going to
Martin. What's that?
Just a little.
Okay. Oh, I guess, yeah, but you're going to watch it somewhere. It's
separate. But if you're doing this, you don't want to
go down. Yeah, right, exactly. I understand. And then we're going to go up
That's
Oh, is it really? Oh, okay. Yeah, I've never been there. I heard that it's similar to Wisconsin, but it's a little bit like more mountainous and stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, it's at like several thousand feet. That's up there. Yeah, okay, well. Is that
fresh?
Is that where you
want
to end up? Oh, really? What's in here? Just coming in?
Yeah.
I thought I saw it. I thought I saw a haze around here that I didn't hear at all.
Okay. It used to be real blue sky.
Stalls.
Yeah. Oh, plus, too, while you're hot. So you see that guy, they're going to change the environment.
There's something in the
Yeah, right.
This other power that they didn't have, the spiritual resurrection.
I think
we don't have to figure
out. Is that we don't get this taken off?
Right.
get going again.